Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Yibamah's Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We are beginning four lines from the bottom on Kuf Yud, and we had read this yesterday. I said we were chazed over. To be honest, today is a little bit of a tough shear at the beginning, but Mirtz Hashem, on the level that we're going to learn it, we'll hopefully be able to get through it. And we'll chazer again what we said yesterday. We're learning today Leili Nishmas Ephraim Dvoretsky. It's the Shom Seven Aliyah from our learning. So we pick up four lines from the bottom with the words Ketzad Takonoson. How do we go about fixing the problem? What is the problem? We remind ourselves yesterday, we're talking about a man that was married to two women, both Kiddushe Derabonon. One was a Chareshes, and she's not a Bardas, so the marriage was only allowed me Derabonon, and the other was a Ketana, which is only a marriage Derabonon if the father didn't marry her off. Here we're talking about with the older brother or the mother married her off. She's a Yesoma. Her father never passed away, or as we pointed out, it could be even a case where her father had married off the Raisa once, and she was divorced, and then she was a Yisoma of Chayavia. In any event, this man is married, Reuven is married to two women, both Midrabanan, two different types of women, as we pointed out in the previous year, that they were the same type, both Chareshes, or both Ketana, so then it would be a different thing here, since there's two different types of relationships here, one with the Chareshes and one with the Ketana, so in this situation, you have no easy way to resolve the problem, as we'll explain in a moment, how to free these women up, because Yibam with one of them will not exempt the other one, and you can't do Yibam with both of them, you're only allowed to do Yibam with one of them, so how do you free them up? So Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav, Rav Chisda, Amar Rav says the following, Koneis HaChareshes, first go and do Yibam with the Chareshes, and then she's married via Yibam, and then you can give her a get, because even though the Chareshes cannot do Chalitza, she can accept the get, Bal Korcho, at least on the Din Midaraisa. So therefore, do Yibam with the Chareshes, the brother would do Yibam with the Chareshes, and then give her a get. And then, the other wife, wait till she becomes a Gedola, Uktana, Tamtin Achitagdil, wait till she becomes a Gedola, now she's a Gedola, Vesachlos, Vimonavshach. If the Yibam parted her, so then there was no need to do anything, and you just did Chalitza. If the Yibam, the Chareshes, didn't part to her, so then we're doing Chalitza now, and both of them this way are Misukon. Both of these women can now go on with their lives. Now, this is what Rav Chisda Amar Rav says. Rav Chisda explains Rav now in the following manner. Amar Rav Chisda, Shema Mina, based upon this halacha that I just said over in Rav's name, we have to understand the differences between the Kedushin of these two women. The Kedushin de Rabbanon of the Chareshes is different than the Kedushin de Rabbanon of the Ketana. How so? In what way? Amar Chisda, Shema Mina, Kesava Rav. You see from here that Rav's opinion is the Chareshes is Kinuya Umishuyeres, whereas the Ketana is Kinuya the Eino Kinuya. What does this mean? Now I'm going to try to say this all outside. The Rashis here are long, they're very important. I'll try to say most of this outside so we don't get bogged down. And we're also going to learn this relatively superficially, not addressing all the questions that the Poskim bring about on Rashi's understanding, and there are different ways to understand this, obviously. So we'll try to learn it nice and simple. We're dealing over here with two different forms of Kedushin, the Chareshes and the Ketana. So Rav, as understood by Rav Chisda, says that the Chareshes' Kedushin is a partial Kedushin. She's like 50% Mikudeshes. That's how I refer to her. The Chareshes is a 50% Kedushin. So there is some Kedushin that is definitely Chal. It definitely is Chal, 50%, but it's not a complete Kedushin. As opposed to the Ketana, her status is unclear. She's either 100% Mikudeshes or she's 0% Mikudeshes. That's what we call Kinuya, the Eino Kinuya. So there's a big difference in terms of what that means, whether you're a 50% Kedushin or whether you're considered either 100% Mekudesh as a full Kedushin or you're considered zero Kedushin. So again, partial Kedushin, a 50% Kedushin is how we're going to refer to the Chareshes' Kedushin, and the Ketana's Kedushin is going to be an all or none. Either she's 100% Mekudesh or she's 0% Mekudesh. What is the nafka mean of that? So let's try to go through the Gemara and see if we can figure that out, and I'll try to add the commentary from Rashi as we go through it. Rav Chisda says that this is the way that Rav must hold because of the following. The Isolka Daitach, if you wanted to flip it around and say it's the Chareshes that's Knuya of Eino Knuya, it's the Chareshes that's either all or none, 100% or 0%, and it's the Ketana that's Knuya Umishyeres, that she's partially 50% Mekudeshes, Vadai 50% Mekudeshes, but not a complete Kedushin. If you wanted to say that that's what Rav held, because Rashi points out, you can't say that they're both partially or both all or none. You can't say that both the Ketan and the Chareshis are both 50% married, and you can't say that both of them are either 100% married or 0% married. Why is that? Because if you're going to say that they're either all or none, so then you have a problem. Why would you have to go and do something to the second one that would impact the first one? If the first one, Miman of Shach, we would say, is 100% Mekudeshes, so then the second one can't impact or hurt the first one. And if the first one was 0% Mekudeshes, so then there's no problem of the Yibam or Chalitza with the other one ruining her because she's not considered a co-wife. So basically, we must say that both of them have a different status, that one of them is a partial 50% Kiddushin and the other one is either an all or none. And going further in the Gemara, Gemara says, "Disokadaita chareishes kenuya veina kenuya and ketana kenuya mishiyeres." If you want to say that it's the chareishes that is either all or none, and it's the ketana that's the 50%, so then it can't be because in that situation, chareishes amai kones umotzio beget. Then, if you're telling me that the chareishes was either an all or none, she's 100% the wife, or she's considered 0% the wife, so then amai kones umotzio beget. Then, when he did yibum with her, why did he have to go and then divorce her afterwards? We turn to Kuf Yud Aleph. Tesev gabei mimonoshav. This is what I alluded to a moment ago. She should be allowed to stay with him. He shouldn't have to go and divorce her. Why? Because I kinuyahi, if in fact she was 100% married, ha kinuyahi, and the other one can't ruin it for her. He did yibum with her, and she should be allowed to stay with him. But if you want to say, no, she was 0% mikudeshes, again, it's all or none, you're telling me, the lav kinuyahi, if it's zero, so then ha nochris biami, then she's not considered a co-wife, and therefore, the kedushin with her should be a perfectly valid kedushin. She's not a tsara of the other wife. So therefore, it can't be like that. Rav Chista explains that Rav must hold the other way around. That, in fact, the Chareishes was the partial Kedushin, and therefore you first go and do Yibum with her, and then you divorce her, because now you're able to go and free her. The whole purpose of this is how both of these young women can be freed, the Chareishes and the Ketana. We don't want them to be in a state where they can't get married to anybody else because they're stuck in this Yibum. And with the Chareishes, you can't do Chalitza, as we pointed out previously, so the only possibility is to do Yibum with her first, then divorce her, and then wait till the Ketana grows up and she can do Chalitza. And in this way, you're not doing anything incorrect. Now, the Gemara continues and says, V'chitema, you're going to tell me, Ketana, amai tamtin ashetagdu v'tachlot. Why, with the ketana, do you have to wait till she grows up and then give her chalitza? Tesev gabe. Why can't he go and live with her right now? The chareishes is out of the picture. She had yibum. She had a partial marriage, and therefore she had yibum, which allowed her to then get the get once she's taken in yibum. And now, the ketana. Again, with the Ketana, we say, Iknuyahi, ha Knuyahi. So if she was a full-fledged wife, so then now the Yibam should work. And if she's not a full-fledged wife, Ilav Knuyahi, Nuchrisa Biyamihi, so then she's not considered a Tzara. So why does he have to go and give her Chalitza? Why can't he go and give her Yibam? Certainly he can give her Chalitza, but why do we say you have to wait till she grows up and give Chalitza? Why don't we say that there's another option to go and do Yibam on the Ketana as well? Are you going to tell me, Imkain, Chareishes Bamati Pok, if you were to do it this way, so then the Chareishes, how would she be able to go out from the marriage? What the Gemara is saying now is, if you were to first do Yibam with the Ketana, so then the Chareishes is going to be stuck. Because if you're in fact going to say that the Yibam with the Ketana worked, so then the Chalitza isn't necessary, or Yibam isn't necessary with the Chareishes, and she goes scot-free. But if in fact the Kenuya to the Ketana is nothing, so now you got a problem. We don't know if it's zero or if it's 100%. If it's zero, you're right, you could do Yibam with the Chareishes, but let's say the Ketana was a full-fledged Yibam because it was a full-fledged marriage, so then you got a problem. The Chareishes is now the Tzara. She's a partial marriage. She's a partial Tzara to the Ketana who underwent Yibam, so she can't undergo Yibam, and she can't undergo Chalitza. So therefore, Rav Chisda says you have to do it in the way that Rav mentioned, that you first must do Yibam on the Chareishes, then you divorce her, and then you wait till the Ketana grows up, and you do Chalitza, but you can't do Yibam. This is a way within halachic framework, without doing any Yisurim, to go and free both of these women. Rav Sheshes agrees with Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Sheshes, Hochanami Mistavra, Kitakom Tarits Rav Chisda, Aliba the Rav. What Rav Chisda explained, Rav is spot on. It's 100% correct, Rav Sheshes says, and I'll show you why. Because we have the following brayse, the Tanya. Shnei Achin Nisuin shtei achoyos kitana v'chareshes. You have two brothers who married two sisters. One of the sisters was a kitana, and the other sister was a chareshes. Again, both of them are marriages midirabbanan. And what happens now? The brother who married the kitana dies. Mezabala shel kitana. So now, the kitana falls to her brother-in-law, who is married to her sister, midirabbanan, her sister, the chareshes. So what do you do in this situation in terms of yibam? So you're stuck over here. So the brother-in-law, who's already married to the chareshes, has to divorce the chareshes because she now is potentially going to be achos zikukaso. And if you say that the ketana's marriage is 100%, it's all or nothing, so then her marriage is only a partial marriage, and therefore chareshes yotza beget. Her husband has to go divorce with a get. But he can't go and marry the ketana, do yibam with the ketana, because maybe she, in fact, is achos ishto, because there is a partial marriage that he had with her sister. Uktana tamti nashutakov tachlos, and therefore she has to wait till she becomes a gedola when she can undergo chalitza. That's the first part of the braisa. The second part of the braisa tells us meiz balo shel chareshes. Let's say it was the chareshes' husband who passed away, and she falls to her brother-in-law who's married to her sister the ketana. So in this situation, ketana yotze beget, you have to let the ketana go out with a get, because again, maybe this is achos zukukaso. Maybe the ketana is in fact not at all married, because it's an all or none, and now her sister's partially married, so therefore this would be achos zukukaso, and she has to go out, because she can't stay married to him because of achos zukukaso. She might not be married to him, and therefore she can't go and continue to live with him because of achos zukukaso. So ketana yotze beget. He has to Nebuch divorce his wife. The Chareshes, that's Uli Olam. But the Chareshes is stuck because there's only a partial Zeke over here. And if the Ketana was fully married, so then she can't undergo Yibam because of Achos Ishto. But she also can't go Chalitza because she is in fact a Chareshes, and the Chareshes can't do Chalitza. So she's stuck until Nebuch, this guy, dies. She's not allowed to get married. However, the Gemara tells us that Brisa says that if in fact they didn't follow the halacha, the Yibala Chareshes, if he did Yibam with the Chareshes, so then the Yibam takes effect to what extent that it does, and therefore she's now married to the Yavam and no sin will get Utra. She's not allowed to live with him anymore, but now she can get a get and go and be free to marry anybody else. Now, how does this Brisa that Rav Sheshes brought down fully prove Rav Chisda's understanding of Rav? I already alluded to it, but now let's see it inside in the Gemara. If you understand this like Rav Chisda understood Rav, so Bishlama Chareshes Knuyo Mishyeres, that the Chareshes is the one that's partially married, and the Ketana Knuyo Veinu Knuyo, either 100% or nothing. If you understand like Rav Chisda's understanding of Rav, then we have no problems. Bishum Hachi, now we understand the Braisa. The Chi Bo Al HaChareshes, if he has first relations with the Chareshes, so then that acquires her because it was a partial Zika, and therefore the Yibam makes that into a good Yibam, and no sin will get Putra, but he can't keep on living with her, he gives her a get, and she's now free to go out. So she's been solved, because we say, we understand of him, if the Ketana was in fact fully married, so then, then there was no need to do Yibam with Chalitza, because she's Achos Ishto, and therefore, there is no Chiyav in Yibam with Chalitza. And if you say, if the Ketana in fact was zero, so then, then Yibam was done properly. So again, we are okay here no matter what. She underwent Yibam possibly incorrectly, but possibly correctly. And then as soon as the Yibam is done, go and give her a get, and this way she's free. However, if you don't hold the Rav Chisda understanding of Rav, Eliyamas, the Chareisha was the Knuy Vena Knuy. The Chareisha was either the all or none, 100% or nothing. And it was the Ketana that was the 50% Kedusha. Ketana, Knuy, or Mishuyeres. So then we got a problem. Ki Baal HaChareishas, when he first does even with the Chareishas, Amai no sin get v'hutra. Why does he have to go and divorce her with a get, and she's free to marry anybody else? This is not going to work. The Yibam doesn't work in this situation. Why not? Havilei Biyo Pesula, that he does with his Yavama, who's the Chareishas. Why? Because the marriage to the Ketana was a 50% marriage. As a result, when he does Yibam with the Chareishas, so he's doing something with Achos Zukukaso, and that's a Biopsula. And the Chachamim hold, Havilei Biopsula, Ubiopsula Lo Patra, it won't work. So if you weren't to hold, like Rav Chisda's understanding, the Braisa doesn't make any sense, because then there's no way that he could do Yibam with the Chareishas. you're going to tell me, Homani Rav Nechemihi, Domar Bi Absula Poteres Mechalitza. Ah, this Brisa could go not like Rav Chista's understanding of Rav, because it doesn't go like the opinion of the Chachamim that hold that a Bi Absula Lo Patra, it goes like the opinion of Rav Nechemia that says a Bi Absula Poteres Mechalitza, that this Bi Absula to the Chareshis works. So maybe this goes like the opinion of Rav Nechemia. Where it says, no, it can't be Rav Nechemia, because keep on reading the Brisa. You're Rav Nechemia, a Masefa. The next part of the Brisa cannot fit in with Rav Nechemia. What is the next part of the Brisa? Mishaya Nasui Shtei Somos. If a man married two orphan girls, in other words, both Kedushim that were made the Rabbanon, Kitana v'Chareshis. Again, one of them is a Kitana, and one of them is a Chareshis. And then he dies with Mace without having any children, and they both fall in Yibim. The Kitana and the Chareshis fall in Yibim to his brother. Now, the Yavim comes, boy Yavim Alektana, the Bright says that if he comes and does Yibim with the Ketana, and then Vachaz Rabo Alacharashis, Oshabo Alchiv Alacharashis, both of them underwent Yibim. The first brother, there's two brothers here, so Reuven dies, and there's Shimon and Levi. Shimon goes and does Yibim on the Ketana, and then either Shimon also does Yibim on the Charashis, or his brother Levi does Yibim on the Charashis. Irrelevant, doesn't make a difference. The second one, that Yibim that's done could be done by Shimon himself or could be done by Levi. So in this situation, Nasru Shteim Olav, neither one can continue to live with the Yavim. The reasoning is as follows, because the Kitana, who he first had relations with, so maybe that was 100% marriage, and therefore it would be also to have Yibim with the Chareshis. So certainly you can't live with the Chareshis. Shimon can't go and live with the Chareshis, or Levi can't go live with the Chareshis. And maybe the other way around, that the Kitana was in fact nothing, so then she technically should be allowed to continue to live with her Yavam. However, the rabbis made a gzera over here, as we'll see. So in any event, both of them, Nesu Shteim Olav. Now, Keitza Takunasa, we want to free up these two women. What do you do with them so they can go on with their lives? So the Braisa continues and says, Chareshis Yotze Beget. You let the Chareshis go out with the Get. Uktana, Tantmina Shetakdil V'Tachlos. You wait till the Ktana grows up. Now she's an adult. She can go give Chalitza, and she goes out with Chalitza. Now, if you hold that this is all according to the Chachamim, we understand why this is the way it is. If you hold like Rav Chista's understanding of Rav, that we're dealing over here with the Chareshis being a 50% marriage and the Ketana being an all or none, either she's 100% married or she's 0% married, so then we understand that this is the opinion of the Rabbanon, he who hold that a Bi Psula doesn't work. And therefore, Mishum Hachi, that's why we say, Tamsin Ashitagdil Vesachlos, we say that the Ketana has to wait till she goes older, she can't stay with her Yavam, and do Chalitza. Why not? Because the Dilma Kodim Uboil Charesh Beresha. Because we have to be concerned, this is the Gezerah that I mentioned, that maybe you'll switch it around. And what will happen is you'll first have the Bia with the Chareshis. Now, if you do that, that's Vahavile Bia Diktana Bia Psula. Then when you're going to go and do Bia with the Ketana, but that's a problem because the Chareshis was a 50% marriage. So there was some connection there, and therefore when you do Bia with the Ketana, it would be a Bia Psula. So therefore, if you hold like the Rabbanon that we're concerned about a Bia Psula, then you must do it in this order. You have to do the Chareshis first and then do the Ketana. And in this way, you'll solve the problem for both of them. But if you hold that this is like a work with Nechemia, Eliyamas Reb Nechemia, so then, ha, Omar, Bia Psula Patra, so then why do we have to be so careful to first do the Yibam with the Chareshis and then do the Yibam with the Ketana? And you don't have to say, wait till she gets older and do Chalitza. You could do Yibam with the Ketana. Again, Mimonoshach. If the Ketana is in fact a full-fledged 100% wife, so big deal. It's a Yibam Psula, but it works. And if she wasn't, so then it's a perfectly good marriage. Why do you have to say, wait till she gets older and tachlots? Oh, El Shmamino Rabbanon He, Shmamino. So the understanding that we have is correct, that it must be that this Brisa goes in accord with the Rabbanon that say a Bia Psula is not a good Bia. And therefore, based upon our understanding of Rav Chista explaining Rav, Rav Sheshis agrees and brings this Brisa in support of that. Again, bottom line is, I hope it was clear. I know this is a very difficult sugya. The bottom line is, we're saying that the two statuses of the marriages are different. The status of the marriage with the Chareshis is a full vaday 50% marriage. And the status of the marriage with the Ketana is unclear. It's either a 100% marriage or it's a 0% marriage. And the nafkaminas that we explain from over here are to find ways to get both of these women on with their lives, that they can be released from their status of being Zekuko Liyavam and go on to marry somebody that they can live a long, happy, healthy life with. Oh. Okay, that's Rav Sheshes. Rav Ashi says, I could also prove to you that Ruchist is right. On Rav Ashi, I can also show you from the Reish of this Brisa that that goes in accord with the opinion of the Rabbanan that a Bia Psula is not a good Bia. Diktani, because it said in the Reisha again was talking about where the man was married to the Chareshis and the Ketana, and they were sisters, and then the husband of the Chareshis passed away. And we said, in Baal HaChareshis, if the Yavam has relations with the Chareshis, albeit it wasn't allowed, but we said, if he went and did that in Baal HaChareshis, then no sin will get for Hutra. But it didn't give that option of the incorrect, illicit relationship with the Ketana. But the Ketana just said, you have to wait till she grows up, and then you give Chalitza. The Lo Ketani didn't say it, but if you ball a Ketana, no sin will get for Hutra. Then she could be released a lot earlier, just give her a get and Hutra. Why didn't it give us that option? Oh, it must be because this goes according to the Chachamim, and the Bia that he would do with the Ketana wouldn't work because it's a Bia Psula. Oh, so Rav Ashi says you can also be medayik from this brisa, from the reish of the brisa, that it goes in accord with the Chachamim and not Rav Nechemya. Where it says, not so fast, that wouldn't be a good raya. Because imi shum ha, if this was the reason, so then lo iria, you wouldn't be able to prove that it's not Rav Nechemya. Because in the reisha, there was a hatter dika way to go and allow the both partners to go out. Because you do the yibum on the chareishis, which was allowed, and then you are giving her a get, and you wait till the ketana gets a chalitza, and then you let her go with chalitza when she becomes a gedola. So in this situation, both of them can go out beheter, so it doesn't want to list a non-heter dika way to do this. However, in the sefer chareishis, the less lo takanta detera, there was no choice in that situation. She can't go and have yibam or chalitza lichatchila, so it had to give us the choice of katani takanta di sura. It told us that, by the way, if they did this iser, then she would be released. But katana, this like takanta de teru, lo toni takanta di sura. But by the katana, which just was an option of waiting until she becomes a gedola and doing chalitza, which doesn't involve any isurim whatsoever, so it didn't want to state the option that was isura, whereas by the chareishis, it had to state the option of isura. So the Gemara says that Rav Ashi's diuk from the Reisha is not going to be correct. Okay, again, as I said, this was a complicated sugya. We're going to go weiter to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Misha yonosu l'shtei yisomos ketanos umes. If a man was married to two ketanos, and then Nebuchi passes away, without any children, obviously, because they're ketanos, ubo yavam rishona, and he has two brothers. He has Shimon and Levi, and Shimon goes and does yibam with one of the ketanos' sisters. So then, even if Shimon were to go and do Yibam with the second Ketana wife, the sister, the Chazer of Alashniya, or Obashaba Achiv Alashniya, or he has a brother Levi who does Yibam with the second Ketana wife, the other sister. So in this situation, we turn to Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, then it doesn't ruin it for the first wife, Lo Pasalas Rishona, because once you did Yibam with one, so then nothing that the other one can do, if they're both on the same level, so nothing the other one can do can ruin it for the first one. Likewise, if both of them were chareishos, so then they're on the same level. So if he did yibum with one, and then either he did yibum with the other, or his brother did yibum with the other, it doesn't ruin the good yibum that was done with the first one. This is true if they're both ketanos, and this is true if they're both chareishos. However, if they were of a different status, if one was a ketana and one was a chareishos, in that situation, bo yavam al ketana, b'chazur bo al chareishos, if, in fact, Shimon first did even on the Ketana wife, and then the Chazor Baal HaChareishis, and then he himself, or Oshabo Achiv HaChareishis, either he himself or his brother, then did Yibam with the other wife, the Chareishis wife, so now we got a problem. Pasal HaSektana, the first wife can't stay with him. Certainly the second wife can't stay with him, but the first wife can't stay with him as well. Pasal HaSektana. Likewise, it was the other way around. Bo Yavam HaChareishis, if Shimon first had Yibam with the Chareishis, and then either he himself or his brother, the Chazor Baal HaKtana, Oshabo Achiv HaKtana, one of them, either Shimon himself or Levi, then had relations with the second wife, the other sister, the Ketana, so then, that ruins it for the first one. So again, just to sum that up, if they're both the same level, both Ketanos, or they're both the same level, both Chareishos, so then the second Bia, the second Yibam, doesn't ruin the first one, and they can stay living together. But if they're both different, Ketana, Chareishos, it doesn't make a difference which one you did Yibam on first. If Yibam was done also on the second one, either by himself or by another brother, so then that ruins the first Yibam, and he can't continue to stay living with the first Yavama. Mishnah continues and says, Bikachas v'Chareishos, if you had the two wives, one of them was a Bikachas, one was a Chareishos, and Bo Yavam la Bikachas, Yavam first did the normal Bia, a normal Yibam with the Bikachas, and then either he or his brother, the Chazar Bala Chareshis, or Shibo Achal Chareshis, that doesn't ruin it at all, Lo Pasal to Bikachas, because that was a 100% good Yibam, and when you have 100% good Yibam, nothing can ruin it afterwards. But if it was the other way around, Bo Yavon Chareshis, Shimon first did Yibam with the Chareshis, and then either he or his brother did Yibam with the Bikachas, the Chazar Bala Bikachas, or Shibo Achal Bikachas, so then that does in fact Pasal as Chareshis, because the second Yibam was a 100% good Yibam. The first one is only this partial Yibam, and therefore it will ruin it for her. Likewise, if it's Gdolu Ketana, if the two wives are one of Gdolu, one of Ketana, so Bo Yavon LaGdolu, if the first Yibam was 100% good Yibam with the Gdolu, and then he either does Yibam with the Ketana, or his brother does Yibam with the Ketana, Chazur Bo LaGtana, Oshibo Ochev LaGtana, so Lo Pasa Gdolu, it doesn't ruin the first one's good Yibam. But again, vice versa, it does ruin it. Bo Yavon LaGtana, if the first Shimon did first Yibam with the Ketana, and then he or his brother, Chazur Bo LaGdolu, Oshibo Ochev LaGdolu, then the second wife, the Gedola, had Yibam either with Shimon or with Levi, then it does ruin the first Yibam. Pasal es Ketana. And in this situation, Rabbi Lozer Omer, Milan de Maktana Shetumoyim Bo. We teach the Ketana to do Mian, just like we had in the previous year. Rabbi Lozer's opinion was that you teach the Ketana to go and do Mian, so too over here. We teach this Ketana to do Mian, and this way, even though there was Yibam first on the Ketana, we nullify that by doing Mian, and now the Yibam that was done second on the Gedola will work perfectly well, because the first one's marriage, the Ketana's marriage, is now null and void. It's as if it never existed. Now, we had already discussed most of the first part of the Mishnah, so the Gemara jumps in and just tells us, Amar Yehuda, Mishmuel, Halachik Rabbi Elazar, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, Halachik Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. So this Tana, Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah, we pass him like him. Now, we had this exact same Lashon the other day, and the Gemara asked, Utsricha, why did Rabbi Yehuda, Mishmuel and Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas have to both tell us twice in the previous Mishnah, and now that the Halach is like Rabbi Elazar, that we teach the woman, like Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, the Tana, that we teach the woman to go and do Miyun. So the Gemara says, Utsricha, you need both our ruling here in this Mishnah and the ruling from the Mishnah on Kuf Tes, where Rabbi Lazar was also considered to be correct by the Amora, Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, and by Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Why do you need to tell it to me twice? You need it, Utsricha. Because the Itmar Bahakamaisiv, you only told us in that case over there. Remind ourselves, that case over there on Kuf Tes was we had two sisters, one was the Gedola and one was the Ketana, who were married to two brothers. And you had Nebuch, the brother of the adult sister who he was married to, he passed away, and now the Gedola falls in Yibam to the brother-in-law. The brother was married to her Kitana sister. So in that situation, Baha, Bahach, Kamar Shmuel, Halacha Elazar, this is the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, who has the same Shita as the Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. Don't get confused, there are two different Tanaim that we're discussing over here. Both have the same opinion, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Eliezer. But in any event, in that situation, did Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, as well as the Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, say the Halach is like the Tana Rabbi Eliezer? That's what we're saying on Kuf Yud, on the Mishnah on Kuf Tes, that the Halach is like that Tana Rabbi Eliezer. Mishum de lo kiyam mitzvas Yibam, because Yibam wasn't done yet. They were waiting to undergo Yibam, but there was a problem because of the Ketana. So in that situation, maybe only there do we say, go and teach her to do Miyan. Abu Baha, in our situation, where Yibam was already accomplished. He did Yibam with the Ketana, and then he did Yibam with the Gdola. So Abu Baha, the Kaya Mitzvah Yibam, maybe Ema Tavayu Livku Beget. Don't suggest the Miyan at this point in time. Just let them both go out with the Get, because the Mitzvah Yibam was done. Oh, so that's why you have to tell us over here in our Mishnah. V'yesh Min Baha, only tell us in our Mishnah, I would have said only Mishum the Gdola, Ram Yikameh. That's because the Gdola is a Vada Yibam in this situation. As opposed to, in that Mishnah, one could argue that the Gedola was Achos Ishto. And maybe in that situation, she doesn't really fully in Yibam. I believe the Chlo. And therefore, maybe he wouldn't say in that situation to do Mian Tzricha. That's why we have to say in both cases, back there on Kuf Tes, as well as over here on our Mishnah, on Kuf Yud Aleph Amibes, that the Halach is like this Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Okay, I hope that wasn't too confusing. The two different Rabbi Elazars, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, the Tana that we're discussing over here, that the Halach is like him, and on Daf Kuf Tes, the Mishnah, where we said on Daf Kuf Yud, that the Halach is like Rabbi Eliezer. Again, both of them say that you teach the Ketana to do Miyun. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Yavam Katon, Shaba Yavam Ketana. You have Nebuch, a man that dies, and his wife is a Ketana, and the brother who's alive is also a katan. So this Yavam does Bia, he does Yibam with the Ketana Yavama.
So the halacha is yigdalu ze'em ze. We allow them to go and stay married. And as Rashi points out, the imbal legarsha and yachal. He can't divorce her at this point in time. Achiyagdal, until he becomes a gadol. The get katan ain't no get, because his get wouldn't be anything. So we allow them to still live together. And once they become gedolim, they can decide what they want to do. Once the boy becomes a gadol, so if he wishes to, at that point he can divorce her. Otherwise, he can stay with her and stay married with her. Ba al yavama gedola. But if this boy who's a katan has relations with the yavama who's a gedola, in that situation, tigad lenu, we let them stay married and wait until he becomes a gadol, and then they can decide what they wish to do. Again, he is a katan, so we can't do gerushin, but we let him stay married to her, and the Gemara will discuss this a little bit more. Now, hayavama shamra, a new situation here. The yavama says, listen, the yavam took me. We're living together, but we never lived together. We're in the same house together, but he never did bia with me. So if this is within 30 days, the Mishnah tells us, so shlo shel yom, we believe her. Lo nivalti, if she says that he didn't have bia with me, so kofen oso shiach l'tzah, it obviously is apparent that he's not going to have relations with her, so we force him, the basin will force him to give her chalitza. Obviously, if he wishes to do yibam, he still can. But it's apparent that he's not doing yibam with her, so they force this man to go give chalitza so this woman can go on with her life. But if it's after 30 days, so then the presumption is that they did have relations. So if she's claiming that they didn't have relations, and it's after 30 days, lachar shloshim yom, the Mishnah tells us, mevakshin heimenu shiach l'tzah. We ask him, please give her chalitza. She's claiming that you didn't do yibam with her, so please give her chalitza. Now, they're only asking him to do that because the presumption is after 30 days that she would have come forward sooner if they didn't have relations. So the presumption is that they did have relations, and now she's trying to get out of the marriage. So if he is willing to give her chalitza, so then we can allow him to give chalitza. But otherwise, we don't force him to give chalitza. However, if he admits that he hasn't had relations with her, it was my shumod that I didn't have relations with her, so then, even after a 12-month period of time, so if he hasn't done yibam, so then we force him to do chalitza. Similarly, the Mishnah continues, Hanoderes hanom yivama b'chayibala. If a woman goes and says, I asked myself to get hanor, now mi yivama has a mapik hay in it. So it's yavam shelah. The yavama here is not the woman, it's talking about yavam shelah. So hanoderes hanor mi yivama, from her yavam. And she did this while her husband was still alive. So it doesn't look or have any appearance that she's doing this to get out of yibam. So they're happily married, and she says, listen, I don't like your brother. I'm asking myself hanor from him. He's a eisvarf. He's not a good person, and I asked myself to get hanor from him. I don't want him around our house. In that situation, fine. She's asked her to give her hanor from this brother-in-law, and then her husband dies, so she falls to him in yibam. In that situation, kofen oso shiach l'tzah. Since he's not allowed to get hanor from her, he can't have relations with her, so therefore basically will force him to go give her a chalitza. However, if she only said this, so then it's clear she's doing this to get out of Yibam, so then it's his choice. Basically, we'll ask him nicely, listen, do us a favor, give her a chalitza, she can go on with her life. She obviously doesn't want to do Yibam with you. But if he says, no, I'm not giving her a chalitza, so that's his choice. He's only being asked, he says, I want to do Yibam with her. So she doesn't want to undergo Yibam with him. So in that situation, we can only ask him to do chalitza because she did something that was incorrect by making this neder of hanor after the death of her husband. And in fact, the Mishnah says, if we know that she made this neder while her husband was alive because she knew that her husband was nebuch sick or whatever the situation was, she didn't want to fall yibam, even in that situation when she made the neder, even while her husband was still alive, we only ask him to give chalitza, but we don't force him to go and give chalitza. Gemara starts off and explains, Lema Masnisa Deluka Rav Meir. Our author of our Mishnah cannot be Rav Meir. Why? Because Rav Meir said in the following brisa, the Tanya, Katan Uktana Lo Chotzev Lo Misyabin. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds that we have to be concerned that maybe the Katan will grow up and be a Saris, and the Katana will grow up and be an Islandist. Rav Meir is Hoshesh Lemiyuta throughout Shas, and therefore Rav Meir doesn't permit a Katan or Katana to do Chalitz or Yibam, because maybe it'll turn out that it's not Bebaka Mitzvah, because they're really incapable of having children, and therefore there is no Mitzvah of Yibam. In fact, it's Eshesach Shelo Bebaka Mitzvah, and it would be an Isser. So therefore Rav Meir says a Katan and a Katana can't do Yibam or Chalitza, and our Mishnah says that the Katan and the Katana, they lived together, they had Yibam, so it's good, they're allowed to stay together, living together. So obviously, the author of our Mishnah is not Rav Meir. The Gemara says, maybe not. Afilu tam Rav Meir. In our Mishnah, you can even argue that Rav Meir allows us. Why? Because when does Rav Meir say, you're not allowed to do a Zekotan or a Katana to do Yibam? Ki Amar Rav Meir, that's a Gedola Lekotan or a Katana Legodol. That's when one of them is a Bardas, and one of them is not. And therefore, the one who's the Bardas, either the Gedola or the Gadol, so they're going to be doing a potential Isser, according to Reb Meir, by having relations with somebody that could be a Saris, that could be an Islandess. The Chami Naya Biyadi Suru. Therefore, Reb Meir says, that's why we don't normally allow a Katan or a Ketana when they're having relations with a Gadol or a Gedola to go and have Ibum. But here, you're dealing with a Katan and a Ketana. Abol Katan, Abol Ketana. Both of them are not Mechuyavos and Mitzvos. They're Tarvayu, Ki Adodininu. They're both Lav Chiyuvim and Mitzvos. Lo Amar, maybe Reb Meir in that situation says they don't have to make my Gzeira that they'd be Choshesh Lemiyuta, that maybe one of them will be a Saris or Nalis. Because bottom line is, they're not Mechuyavos and Mitzvos. So even if they are doing something wrong, Nish Gefelach. So therefore, the Gemara wants to suggest that even Reb Meir could be the author of a Mishnah. Gemara says, but wait a second. Look at the second case of the Mishnah. It said, Vokhtani, Baal HaYavama Gedola Tigad Lenu. That if the Katan had relations with the Yavama, now the Yavama is a Gedola in this situation, they're allowed to stay married. But here, why isn't Reb Meir Choshesh? If you want to say the Mishnah is Reb Meir, why isn't Reb Meir Choshesh here for the fact that maybe this Katan is a Saris? And how could the Yavama, who's a Gedola, have relations with her brother-in-law when it's not B'mokum Mitzvah, because maybe he's a Saris? So Gemara answers, no, that's not a problem. Aruch Hanina Chazor came from a place called Chazor, said, Bo Shiny. This is after the fact. He had relations with her. So that's why Reb Meir could be the author of a Mishnah. What do you mean it's after the fact, the Gemara says? Bo Tigad Lenu Kamar, implying that they're allowed to still stay married together, that they stay married in this Yibam marriage until he becomes a Gadol. And then at that point in time, he can go and divorce if he wants, or he can stay married to her. But in this situation, the call B.O.B.O. D. Suruho, this woman, every time she's a Gedola, has relations with this Katan, it may not be Eshesach B'mokum Mitzvah, maybe Choshesh L'miyuta, he's going to be a Saris, and every act of Bia is an act of Isser. And yet our Mishnah says you're allowed to. So how could this be Remeir? So where says Yataka, right? Elamachvarta, it's white, it's clear. Masnis and the Lok Remeir. Our Mishnah cannot be in accord with the opinion of Remeir because he would not allow her to go and continue living with his Yavam, who's the Katan. If they even did have relations the first time, Remeir wouldn't allow them to continue living together. Our Mishnah does allow them to continue living together. So obviously, the author of our Mishnah is not Remeir. Now the Gemara asks a general question. How can this Katan, who's the Yavam, go and live with the Yavama, who's a Gedola? After all, the Pasuk says, Kari Khan, we have to say, L'hokim li'ochim shem. The whole purpose of this Yibam relationship is to have a name for the brother, Nebuch, that passed away. And this is a Katan. B'hai lav bar hachihu. He cannot have children. By definition, he's a Katan. So why do we allow this Yibam relation to occur between the Katan and the Yavama, who is a Gedola? So Abayi says, no, because the Pasuk says, Omakra Yavama. Again, there's the Mapik Hey, her Yavam, Yavo Aleha, which implies called who. Tosus explains because Bidilok Yisiv, Ache Hameis, Yavo Aleha. It doesn't say the brother of the dead person will go and have relations with her. It says Yavama, her Yavam, Mikaldahu, from any place. And this implies, Tosus says, that it could be even a Katan. So that's Abayi's Teretz, and that's perfectly good Teretz. Rav Amar, Rav gives us a second teretz, not disagreeing with Abayi. Again, I pointed out many times, when you have Amar Abayi and then Amar Rav, it usually means that Rav is disagreeing with Abayi. But if you have the name of first Amar, let's say Abayi, Amar Abayi, and then it says Rav Amar, it says the name first, that implies that he doesn't necessarily disagree with the first teretz, he's just giving a second teretz as well. So Rav gives a second teretz. Rav Amar, Bilav Hochinami Lo Motzis Amis. It says, even if you didn't darshan the pasuk the way Abayi darshan did, Yavama, meaning called who, Yavo Aleha, even a Katan, I still would show you that a Katan is allowed to have Ibam with his Yavama, who is a Gedola. Because, Mi Kamidi, how is it ever possible, the Hashta Sirile, that right now you're saying that this Katan is also to have Ibam, Ulabasa Shaita, but when he becomes a Gadol, Shaya, he's permitted to have Ibam with her. After all, we have a principle, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ko Yavama Shein, Ani Kori Bishas Nefila, Yavama, Yavo Aleha, Harehi Keishis Och Shiesh Labanim Vyasura. If you cannot do Yibam at the moment that the Nefila occurs, Nebuch, when the first husband Reuven dies, if at that moment in time there's a block in doing Yibam for whatever the reason, so then, Ko Yavama Shein, Ani Kori Bishas Nefila, at the time that the Nefila occurs, at the time that the death of Reuven occurs, if you can't apply the rule, Yavama, her Yavam, is going to take her in Yibam, so then you're never allowed to do this because it's now like Eshesach Shaloba Makum. It's an Eshesach who has children and it's an Isser Erva. So therefore, if this were true that the Yavam can't go and take the Gedola Yavama, so then Rava says we would not be ever allowed to go and have Yibam in this situation. So therefore, it must be that the Yavam can take the Yavama. Well, it says, Nuve Mahachanami. What Rava just said sounds very good. Maybe, since you can't do Yibam at that moment in time when he's a Katan, so Taka, you shouldn't be able to do Yibam even when he becomes a Gadol. Behemahachanami. So Gemara says, no. The pasuk says, Amakra, Kieshu Achim Yachdov. It says, if two brothers are alive at the same time, as opposed to a brother that's born after the death of the first brother that dies. So you have Reuven and Shimon. So Shimon, as long as he's alive, even for one day, during the lifetime of Reuven, so he could do Yibam. If a Levi is born only after Reuven dies, then that brother cannot do Yibam. So it's Kieshu Achim Yachdov, which implies Afilu Ben Yom Echad. Even if they're only together alive for one day, they're still allowed to do Yibam. So that's Rava's explanation as to why the Kotter can do Yibam with the Yavama who's a Gedola. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, Yavama Shamu B'Soch, Shloshim Yom Chulei. So we had said that our Mishnah holds that as long as it's within 30 days, we believe the Yavama to say that the Yavam has not had relations with her, and we force the Yavam in that situation to either have relations with her or to go and do Chalitza. Now, the Gemara says, Man Tana, who is the author of our Mishnah that holds this 30-day period of time? That we can assume that even within 30 days, a person might not have yet done relations with her. He could, quote, hold himself back and not give in to his hormonal and lascivious desires and automatically have relations with her. That there's a possibility that he could hold himself back for 30 days, and therefore we believe the woman to say he hasn't had relations yet with me for 30 days. So who's the author of our Mishnah that holds like this? Mantana da atlosim yomin for 30 days, mokim nishanashi. A person might be able to hold himself back and not do the act of bia. So Rabbi Yochanan says, this is Ramehi. Why? Because within the following brayse of the Tanya, tainas besulim kol shloshim yom. If a husband alleges that his wife Nebuch wasn't a besula, and he doesn't want to pay her the Ksuba, and he wants to accuse her of Motzi Shema, he wants to accuse her of not being a virgin, so we believe the fact that for 30 days he claims that she wasn't a Basula, he brings the garment out and shows that there's no blood on it, so Divrei Rav Meir, we believe him for this 30-day period of time. In other words, Rav Meir believes that a person might not have had relations the first opportunity he could have, he would hold himself back even up to 30 days. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. Oh, so Rav Yochanan says, this opinion of Rav Meir, 30 days, is the same opinion in our Mishnah. As opposed to Rav Yossi Omer, Nistra, as soon as they're alone, La'alter, we have to presume that they had relations, because the person won't hold himself back. And therefore, if he doesn't come forward right away, so then he's not believed to come forward within 30 days. He has to come the first time they're alone together and make the claim, otherwise the claim can never be made that she wasn't the Basula. So only Nistra La'alter, then he can make the claim. Lo Nistra, Af Li'acha Kamashonim. But the Kula that Rav Yossi says is, if they were never alone, for whatever the reason, they were separated for all these years, and now, after 5 years apart, now they're finally together, and he claims she's not a Basula, he is believed, even though it's more than 30 days afterwards. So it's a Chumra and a Kula that Rav Yossi has. So therefore, Rav Yochanan says that the author of our Mishnah can be only Rav Meir, it can't be Rav Yossi. Rabbi Meir, no, I feel him Rav Yossi. Rabbi says, no, our Mishnah could even be Rav Yossi. Because when did Rav Yossi say that a person won't hold himself back? I can't look on Rav Yossi, awesome, Elo Barusaso de Gispa. That's talking about where he's been courting this lady. They've been, getting together on a regular basis, going out on dates. And there's a love and an affinity between them. So therefore, it's very, very unlikely that as soon as they have chuppah, that he wouldn't go and have relations with her. That's not possible that a person would hold himself back. That's because this is his arusa, the gispe. He's very, very, intimate with her already in terms of a relationship. So therefore, as soon as they can be physically intimate, there's no doubt, Rav Yossi says, that they will be. And if he doesn't make the claim that she wasn't the basula at that point in time, he can never make the claim. However, Eishes Achiv, his Yavama, that's a woman that he's been very tsenua with. It's his brother's wife. He's not going to be alone with her. He's not going to have private conversations with her. He's not going to be very familiar with her in the sense that there is a gisba, that there's a natural affinity between them that's been somewhat acted upon by conversations, and therefore in this situation we turn to Kufyud Beis, Omud Aleph, Mivzas Biziz Mino, as Rashi says, Boshemena, he's going to be a little bit nervous around her. He's going to be not so quick to go and consummate this relationship. They're going to have to develop a little bit of time. So even Rav Yossi would say, we'll give him up to 30 days. Maybe he didn't have relations the first night with her because they just were embarrassed a little bit. After all, this was his former sister-in-law. This is his brother's wife, so he's not going to be intimate with her right away. But even Rav Yossi would say, within 30 days, either he did or he didn't have intimacy with her, and therefore, for the first 30 days, the wife is believed to say, listen, he didn't have relations with me. But after that, then everybody would hold that Mestama, he had relations with her, and it's not going to be believed that the wife says that he didn't have relations with her, and we can only ask him to do chalitza with her, as opposed to force him to do chalitza with her within the first 30 days. This was a very tough shiur, and I know we rushed through parts of it, but B'ezus Hashem, people can chazu, it is over, and B'ezus Hashem, a new shiur tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shiur.